I have been looking forward to this interview for a while. A couple months ago, one of the little mentions that I had in the show was about the most prolific streaker in the world. His name is Mark Roberts, and if you think of an event, a sporting event, and actually just any big event with a big crowd, this guy has probably taken his clothes off and run onto the field naked. Mark Roberts is joining us now from Spain. A very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm really well, thank you. And it's an absolute pleasure to be speaking to you lovely people in South Africa.
Did you ever streak on a field at our World Cup or in South Africa yet?
No, that's one of the only countries in the world I haven't been to, unfortunately. But my very first streak in Hong Kong was at the Rugby Sevens.
Mm.
And it was a game between the All Blacks and the Springboks.
Okay.
I took the ball off the All Blacks and scored a try for the Springboks. So I did one for you, my very first go.
Well, we appreciate that. Now, tell me how that came about, because that was on the back of a sort of a drunken experience in the pub that you were working at.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, anything like this starts with a beer. But, you know, nearly 26 years later, you know, I need a beer anymore. It just, like, turned into a profession, if you like. You know, it's a vocation to cheer people up. But, yeah, worked in a bar in Hong Kong. Everyone's talking about a girl who streaked the date that day. I was drunk. I said, oh, anyone can do that. So the owner of the bar dared me to do it the following day in the final with the All Blacks and the Springboks. I was drunk, I agreed. I had no intentions of doing it. And then the following morning, this one of the guys dragged me out the apartment, still drunk and still asleep, straight to the stadium. You told everyone you're going to do this. You have to do it. And it just, that moment changed my life, basically, you know, thanks to Harry.
Now it's become this big thing and you're world known. People know you all across the globe. You've done so many different events, and we'll get onto that. But what were you doing before all of this sort of got started?
Well, I still am a painter, you know, a commercial painter. But in Hong Kong, I was working behind bars. I was doing a bit of waiting work. I'm just a general guy doing a general job with an extraordinary vocation.
And you call it entertainment, eh? That's correct.
Oh, 100%. I always said, the first time I get booed by the crowd, that's when I'm going to stop. And I've done it now 569 times, and I haven't been booed once.
And when you first started this, did you have children at the time, or have your children just grown up with dad being a streaker?
Yeah, I mean, no, I had one, my eldest. But then my two youngest came along during the early years of my streaking career. You know, and it just gradually, he didn't know enough about it at first, obviously, but in school, when they start, it's teenagers, you know, the kids are going, well, your dad's running around with no clothes on. And that's when it started to get on the nerves a little bit.
Mm.
But, you know, but now they're all grown up and now they love it as much as anybody else.
I'm just going to go through some of the big events. You've done St. Andrews, the very prim and very proper and very posh golf tournament. You've done the Winter Olympics. You've done the Summer Olympics. You've even done athletics meetings. You've been to dressage competitions, the big Wimbledons of the world and the big tennis tournaments and even the Super Bowl in Texas.
Yeah. In my line of work, I like to do the biggest events possible. It's the biggest audience, but, you know, it's televised lots of times. And, you know, why do a first round match when you can do the final?
Mm.
Always aim at the top. And that was like with the Super Bowl. I had the opportunity to go to America. Somebody offered me tickets for the Oscars. And I said, listen, he said, they're the biggest things in America. I said, no, they're not. I said, the biggest thing in America is the Super Bowl. And this guy said to me, you can't do the Super Bowl. And I said, why not? He said, well, it can't be done. No one's ever done it. I said, I'll show you it can be done. And I got tickets, and it just went off like a dream. I think it's the best performance I've ever done in the last 26 years, to be fair.
But it's not just the performance. You have to do a lot of planning, because we've all seen the big games now. There are security lined up at every entrance onto the grass, onto the field, and you've got to plan it to a T. Tell us how you pulled off that big streak at the Super Bowl in Texas.
Yeah, well, that took a year to plan. I had someone who was living in Texas go to the normal games at the same stadium, take pictures of the security and the police, and it was only half full, the stadium, and the police and security were everywhere. I thought, come the game, the Super Bowl, this is going to be so hard. So I didn't know. But the main thing that was getting on my head was the consequence, I thought, because it's high security now in America especially. I thought somebody could try and shoot me. And to be fair, I would have took a bullet to the leg to do the Super Bowl. Mm. But then I thought, well, when I'm on the field, all the American footballers could jump on top of me and suffocate me, and that was a really big worry.
Mm.
But I thought to myself, if I worry any more about this, I won't go.
Mm.
So I had to get on the plane, put it right to the back of my mind, and try and see if I could, you know, if I could pull it off. So I wrote to the NFL and told them I wanted to be an American referee in England, and I couldn't get a uniform, so they sent me two. So I had one taken apart, put back together again with Velcro, so it was like a one-piece rip-off suit now,
yeah.
And I wore that under my clothes when I went into the stadium. And the guy on the door, he was frisking me going in, excuse me, and as he went down the inside of my legs, you could feel two loads of Velcro. You said, what's that, man? And the first thing I could think of was, I've got a skin disorder. I need to be able to get to my legs to be able to put the cream on. And he said, yeah. And he lifted me top off. And he saw a black and white referee's uniform. He said, what's that, man? I said, that's my lucky uniform. I wear it to every game I go to. He said, okay, that's fine. In you go. I thought, the security, we spent millions and millions of pounds and dollars on security. And then when I got in, we sat down on the seat. I had a friend. And it was just ridiculous, the amount of police and security. But there was one guard, security guard, he was the only one in my line of run, because from my seat to the middle of the field would take maybe 4 seconds, 5 seconds tops when I'm going flat out. And all the way through the game, he stayed in his spot until the very moment that I wanted to go, just before the kickoff of the second half, he moved. That was my time. That was the only time the guy moved. I dropped down 15 foot down the wall, ran through all the people around the field, stopped the kickoff of the second half. I said, whoa! And the player said, what's up, ref, man? So I've just ripped all my clothes off now. Naked. I said, nothing at all. And then started to river dance.
I'm going to get Taryn to post this video right now as we're speaking, because it's one of my favorite to watch, because you just kind of stand there doing the jig and nobody does anything about it. And eventually I watched one with your commentary on it, and you were saying you just kept waiting for people to come and sort of start running after you, and they just never do.
No, well, that's it. All the players thought the referee had lost his mind because I went on as a referee, and I'm expecting the police to come chasing me. And as I'm going, looking around the stadium, they're all confused. You know, they're ready for the security, you know, any kind of security, but not what happened that day. And it literally, for a whole minute, the whole crowd knew what was happening, but the police just didn't know what to do. And eventually, obviously, after a minute, every cop came at me. It took maybe, I don't know, 10, 20 cops on top of me to take me out. It was just perfect.
And tell me, I read somewhere with that one specifically that you got a sponsor, you made quite a bit of money from that one. Is that true?
No, that's a load of rubbish. I've seen reports saying that I got paid $1 million. Now, I did an interview for an Australian newspaper, and the guy asked me how much I got fined, and I said $1,000, but I would have paid $1 million to streak the Super Bowl.
Mm.
And he twisted my words and said I got paid $1 million.
I see.
I made it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a regular painter. If I had $1 million, I wouldn't be painting people's houses still to this day.
Absolutely true. And tell me, the consequences of these streaks, like that with the Super Bowl, were you expecting a lot more? What happened after that?
Well, to be fair, I was really scared. Before I left England, I was, well, I can't say how scared I was. It was bad. Obviously, because of the injury level and what happened injury-wise, and I could possibly go to an American prison. So I put all these together, and I thought, and people said to me, like, you were worried about all these things. Why did you still go? I said, because I had to see if I could do it. it would have plagued me for the rest of my life and never tried the Super Bowl. It's the biggest one single event in the world, and I did it with aplomb. But a lot of other times, I mean, the police, they just love, absolutely love what I do. Even in America, when they took me to the police station, they made me sign autographs to all the police and the station, and everyone was just so fantastic. And that's been the general reaction from the normal policemen around the world. But the hierarchy, the big chiefs, they hate me.
I can imagine.
Because, you know, they're trying to stop me, but I go to court now every time I do it, especially in the UK. And I go to trial, and I win. I win the trials.
It's amazing. I'm speaking to Mark Roberts, who is the most prolific streaker in all of history. You name the event, he's probably taken his clothes off and run onto the playing field. Now, Mark, when you say you get caught like that, it's not always fun and games. There's actually been a time where you got physically tortured after a performance. The event actually surprised me when I saw that.
Yeah, it was a dog show.
A literal dog show, people, with like dogs on show, not just a crazy thing that happened. It was a literal dog show. Whereabouts was it?
It's called Crufts, and I think it's the biggest dog show in the world, with the pedigree dogs, every breed as such. And yeah, I went on as a cat because I wanted to wind the dogs up. And then two security guards took me into a utility room and tortured me for 15 minutes while I was stood there naked with a cat covering my modesty, shall we speak, and a tail hanging out my buttocks. And for 15 minutes, they tortured me until the police came, and I was absolutely so physically exhausted by the end of it, I collapsed. And I've been around the world in every major event, and the worst treatment I've ever had at the bloody dog show in Birmingham in England.
Who would have thought? And I mean, I'm just looking at the list of your recent streaks that you've listed on your website. Something like the Cannes Film Festival comes up. You've got the Ashes final test. You've got the Derby streak in Belgium. You've got the Super Bowls listed there, but also David Blaine, the magician. You don't even discriminate. I know you were at the curling event, as well. Like you just, wherever there's a crowd, you're going to take your clothes off and try and get onto the playing field.
Well, that's it. I mean, streaking normally, people perceive it as just being for rugby events or a football game. Well, as I say, I've turned it into a performance, and it's for anything. I've even done a bingo hall. I mean, it's just the sight of me running naked, or, you know, sometimes I'll wear a monkey over my little fella. And it's just, I do something that just makes people laugh. First of all, it's shock. And then because I'm doing something funny, comedic, you know, as I'm going along. And I have something funny written across my chest or my back. So I try and create, for a whole minute, something that people are going to remember, but remember with a smile. Because, you know, I think everything through, and I don't want to offend anybody, so, you know, all that, you know, it's all part of the ethos, if you like, of putting in a great performance.
And I find it so fascinating because we never get to see it on TV. It's one of the strategies that the broadcasters do is to avoid putting you on the TV to, you know, cut down on your infamy, but also because it's oftentimes a family show. But the crowds, I mean, we're talking thousands of people at these crowds that still will remember the day that Mark Roberts ran onto the field at, you know, Barcelona versus Real Madrid.
Well, yeah, well, that was David Beckham's first game for Madrid. He's called Golden Balls. So I thought, well, okay, we'll see who's got the biggest Golden Balls then. So I ran on with, I'm the real Golden Balls written across the chest. And I had two big golden baubles, like on off a Christmas tree tied around below. But I had strobe lights on them as well, about 20 flashing lights. And I ran across the field. Beckham was laughing his head off. One of the players tried to pass me the ball, Ronaldo. And then the police took me off and put me into a dark room because it was an evening game. And I was going off like a Christmas tree. The lights, the whole cell was just illuminated like, you know, a Christmas light show. And they kept me for an hour, let me go. And since then, I've done six major events in Spain and never been arrested once. Usually now the police take me for a drink after they've released me from the station.
That's absolutely amazing. I think it's hilarious. I think you're such a legend for still looking at, you know, big events and small events and trying to figure out where you can get in, whether it's from snooker games or tournaments to football and magician shows and you name it, dog and cat shows. Mark Roberts is going to try and streak at those events. Mark, have you stopped? Have you hung up? Well, there's nothing to hang up because you're a streaker. But have you stopped streaking, or are there still things that you want to tick off your own bucket list?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think I'll ever stop, to be fair. I mean, last year I went to South Korea for the Winter Olympics, the speed skating final. I jumped on there in a tutu and a monkey, the most polite police I've ever met in my life, and that's right next to the border of North Korea. So I was a bit worried about it. Again, they just let me go with no charge. Then a few months later, I went to Kiev in the Ukraine for the Champions League football final. I got halfway across the pitch. I got grabbed, and I was literally in the stadium less than 5 minutes, straight in the door, straight onto the field, got grabbed, and then threw straight out the next exit. But then I let myself down. I had a ticket for the World Cup final in Russia last year. And I had an apartment sorted out in Moscow. Had my friend over there had my final ticket. I've booked the flights, and I've gone to the airport, and I'm flying via Schiphol in Amsterdam. So they here's your boarding pass for Schiphol. Do you have your visa for Moscow? I said, what do you mean, a visa? He said, oh, no, you cannot get into Moscow without a visa. And I thought, well, hang on, but why hasn't anybody told me this before?
Oh, no.
And it turned round. When you've got a World Cup final ticket, you just log on and you get fan ID, which happens to be your visa. But my friend didn't tell me this. So everything was planned, everything was sorted, and I let myself down at the airport, which is, you know, still rattles me to this day.
So I'm secretly hoping that we are hosting a big cricket, soccer, rugby, anything in the near future. And it's not because of the sporting events. I hope to see Mark Roberts pulling up at Cape Town International Airport with very minimal luggage and trying to get onto the field. Mark, it's been an absolute joy. Thank you for chatting to us this morning. And listen, if you ever are going to be in Cape Town, I know we host the Sevens regularly, and please look us up. Come and have a visit in studio, and I'll take you for a beer, if not give you some free tickets to some sort of sporting event.
Oh, it would be an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for your time, man. It's been an absolute pleasure. That is Mark Roberts, the unofficial, but seriously, if you look at his website and the list of things that he's done, the official, most prolific streaker in all of the world. Mark Roberts, he's joined us on the line from Spain, and an absolute pleasure to talk to him.